This is Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. I want to introduce you to a man named Mark, who on a lot of days wakes up early to get going.
I'm going to use the bathroom real quick and then pull out the covers on my windows and get started on the way to the gym.
Mark lives in L.A. on La Cienega Boulevard, and he goes to the gym every single morning.
Okay, about 7 short minutes later, I have arrived at the gym, and I'm just going to fold down the rear seat of my car to the hidden secret compartment in the trunk that I built to carry my clothes. And the hidden compartment is because for supplemental money, I drive for Uber and Lyft, and my car has to appear clean and professional and give no clue that I live in it every night.
Yeah, that's right. Mark lives in his car, like about 16,000 other people in Los Angeles.
And I don't have time today for a full workout, so I'm going to run in and use the bathroom and shave and shower and get ready, look professional for work. And I'll check back in with you in about 45 minutes.
Today, Mark's running on about 4 hours of sleep and is about to head into a 14-hour day as a driver.
So, 5 a.m., 45 minutes later, I am pulling out of the gym parking lot and assessing my situation to be ready to do my job for the day. My shift begins at 6 a.m. and I have to get a tank of gas. And
if you belong to a gym, it might just be a place you go to use the elliptical. It might be a bitter reminder of a New Year's resolution made and then abandoned. But if you're without a stable place to live, the gym might be a lot more than that. It might be a lifeline, a kind of home base. And for Mark, the gym is somewhere he knows he'll always be allowed to go to use the bathroom or the shower, just to be inside and to prepare himself for a day of pretending that he's not living in his car.
And that's it for right now. I just arrived at the 7-Eleven, which is a multiple times a day stop for me. I'm going to get my first morning coffee and some breakfast and move on to start my shift shortly.
Reporter Carla Green spoke to people living in their cars and on the streets about the gym and why a gym membership can be the key to keeping it together when you find yourself without a place to live.
When I first met Mark, I never would have guessed that he lives in his car. Mark is a clean-cut guy, looks meticulously put together. He was wearing cargo shorts and a short-sleeved plaid shirt. I met him at a dinner hosted by a synagogue that volunteers its parking lot every night so that people living in their cars can have a safe place to sleep. It's one of several safe parking programs in Los Angeles. And at first, I figured Mark was a member of the synagogue. Mark gave me his last name, but asked that we not use it to maintain his privacy. Some people in his life, his employers and customers, for example, don't know about his living situation.
It's really difficult living in a car. There's not enough room for a person to lay out like they're in a bed. So you're in a very uncomfortable position.
How do you sleep on the back seat? Or?
Yeah, so I use the back bench seat and I basically go fetal position.
Mark hadn't been homeless for long when he realized he wasn't going to make it without a gym membership.
The reality is you can last about 3 days living in your car before you need to get to an adequate place to shower and promote and keep your hygiene up. And you begin to be noticed by the other people in society that you're looking scruffy and looking homeless, and maybe you're even, you know, smelling. And so I had a gym membership that I found critical to my survival in this lifestyle.
The story of Mark moving into his car starts, as many similar stories do, with Mark living in an apartment and with things suddenly spiraling out of control.
I had lived for the last 10 years in a really cool beach community in North County, San Diego, and I really loved my place. And so I had always been in the habit of keeping about $3,000 emergency funds available, and I had gotten so comfortable living there and knowing that that was my home. I had been there for 10 years that I dipped into my emergency fund to complete a project.
But while Mark was spending down his emergency money to build an outdoor kitchen, the other person on the lease was making plans to leave. Mark couldn't afford to pay the full rent on his own, so eventually he decided to move, temporarily, into his car. That was more than a year ago.
A lot of this experience for the last year and a half of being homeless for me has been a sort of stoic experiment where I'm like, I didn't want to ask for help because I knew there were people who really needed help. But you wake up enough times with the fingerprints of drug addicts looking through, trying to peer through the tint on your window to see who's on the other side of that window snoring, and it makes for very restless, fearful sleep.
Finally, after over a year of sleeping in his car on the streets, Mark heard about programs at parking lots like the synagogues. So for the first time since he'd moved into his car, he decided to ask for help. Emily Wade Cantrum is the associate director of Safe Parking LA, which coordinates the synagogue's program and a half dozen others like it around the city. Wade Cantrum recognizes that if you're living in your car, there are a couple things you need: a safe place to sleep, reliable access to a bathroom, and, for a lot of people, membership to a gym. So when the Safe Parking program opened on their lot, synagogue members decided to fund gym memberships for the people who sleep there every night.
The absolute best housing opportunities, just like job opportunities, come from someone you know. And the more you're able to stay connected to your larger community and larger societal groups, you're more likely to be able to see yourself back in those pathways and find those kinds of resources. So part of, and I don't want to say keeping up the facade, but keeping up the ability to see yourself as part of a housed community is important.
For some people, the gym is even more than a place to clean up and make sure you don't appear homeless to the outside world. It can be a sanctuary from the harsh realities of life without a stable home.
Well, right now we're at Planet Fitness. This was my basic escape space. Like, I would use this place to make me feel like I'm not living on the streets type thing, like I'm a normal person. I mean, you know, we're all normal people, but...
This is Santiago Tarver, who lived first in his car and then in a tent in Skid Row. He since moved into an apartment.
So when you get inside, all of a sudden, it's quieter. It's cooler.
It's cooler. It's not all extra hot like it is outside. And the environment and the energy is just totally different from outside.
What's it like?
More pleasant, more calming, more relaxing, and not as chaotic.
I've heard, off the record, that it's common knowledge among gym employees that people who are homeless are among their members, and that those members use the gym just like Mark and Santiago do. I tried to talk to a couple different gyms on the record for this story, and none wanted to comment. The gym can be a useful tool for keeping up the appearance of being housed when you're without a home. But people using the gym that way know that they're in a precarious situation, that it's a delicate balance. Like Erica Newsom. Erica was working at a bank when she got evicted. The rent went up, her pay didn't, and the added cost was just too much to manage. When it happened, she was pragmatic about it, immediately went into problem-solving mode.
So during that process, I had to figure out, what am I going to do? Like, where am I going to put my stuff? Like, how I'm going to work out where I'm able to be able to have access to showers? I'm going to be able to be presentable at work. And also at the same time, I noticed in my building, in my bank where I worked, there was a gym called LA Fitness.
So she carefully assembled the structure of her new houseless life. She worked at the bank. She slept in her car in the bank's parking structure. And she showered at the gym, all in the same building.
And then what about after work?
So then I'll go back to the gym because I know I make sure I take a nice shower, make sure I use the facilities, because once they close at 11, if I have to go to the bathroom, everything's closed at public parks. They close their public restrooms at a certain time. So if I don't take care of things before the gym closes, you know, then I'm screwed when I'm in my car. I'm definitely. So that's pretty much my days. I make sure that I did things at a certain time. So in the middle of the night, I'm not stuck.
During this time, a lot of Erica's mental energy ended up going towards planning the basic facts of her life, going to the bathroom or getting clean, and also to concealing her living situation from her colleagues.
Well, first, mostly it was embarrassing because it was like, okay, everyone works at the bank. Everyone has, you know, a car. They have a place to go to. They have a home. So once they work, they just get on and leave. And me, it's kind of like, to make sure they didn't find out, I had to kind of pretend like I was leaving. Like I will just drive off and maybe go to the storage. So it looked like I was going home. But in reality, I was just going to the storage facility or just making a little round trip around the corner so I can go back in the parking structure and go to the gym.
Eventually, Erica's boss found out, and Erica admits her work had been slipping. It was distracting not having a place to live. She got fired.
I left and went to my car. The first thing I did is I drove all the way up to the top six-story parking structure, and I was actually about to jump. I felt that I had nothing left. You know, that's it was going to jump. But then before I did, my therapist I seen earlier, I guess she gave me a card for a next appointment. Her car fell out of like my dress pants. And then I saw that that's made me go, I need to go back and see her to let her know what happened.
When I last spoke to Erica, she was doing better, had her own place. Mark is still in his car, still working and saving up. A couple days ago, he texted me that he met up with a friend from San Diego and that they were each surprised to learn that the other was, as he puts it, discreetly homeless. It's common, he said. For KCRW, I'm Carla Green.
What stories like that one, with an emphasis on an issue, housing, homelessness, that affects so many people here in Southern California, that your contribution actually helps to support in KCRW's UnDrive Pledge Drive. We can provide those stories for you to make a difference in the lives of many, many people across Southern California. Quality journalism, music, and cultural programs that feed your need for entertainment and information. We cannot do it without you. And today, there's a challenge on the table from a generous KCRW supporter. Board member Sari Kane matches your contribution dollar for dollar if we can raise $35,000 by midnight tomorrow night. KCRW.com/join. And thank you for your support. Coming up, the climate is changing, what you can do, and how LA will look in the coming decades, right on the other side of this.